Well, he is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Yes, hallelujah. We're going to look at one of the stories of that resurrection, that first Easter morning, from the Gospel of Luke this morning. But we're going to be referring also back to 1 Corinthians, where we're studying. We'll be back to 1 Corinthians next week, but we're going to kind of look at bringing 1 Corinthians in line with the resurrection this morning. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 24. We're going to start with the first verse. It says, "And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered under the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We don't have to guess about what happened that Easter morning. You've written it down. You've told us. Lord, we ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit to show us what exactly is going on. Lord, to give us wisdom and discernment and understanding that's beyond human wisdom and understanding. Lord, give us that divine understanding that we might be able to see your purpose and your will and understand what you're doing. Father, show us how to apply this to our lives. So it's not just something that we carry about between our ears, but something that we live out every day in our hands, with our mouths and what we say and do. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me this morning, that as I come and I preach your word, I would speak forth out of the infilling of your Holy Spirit, and your people here might be encouraged and blessed. Father God, I come against every word that is not of you, and I pray that if I say anything which is contrary to your word, you would strike it from the memories and minds of each person here, that would be as if I had never spoken it. But Father, I ask that you would encourage and bless your people this morning, that they might come to have a better understanding of you, that each one here would know you as Lord and Savior and God. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friday, we had a Good Friday service. And I entitled that one, "The Inconceivable Folly of the Cross." I could have titled my Christmas Eve message, "The Foolishness of the Manger." And this week, today, it's the nonsense of Easter. I'm talking about foolishness, inconceivable, nonsense. Because that's what the gospel message is to those who don't have the Holy Spirit, who haven't been touched of God. You see, we can preach the gospel message, but unless the Holy Spirit comes upon somebody and softens their heart, they just aren't going to understand it. They aren't going to get it. Why? Because it's nonsense. These women went to the grave, and there's no body. And they come back, and they said, "He is risen." That's what they told us. We saw a couple of guys there, all in white. We think they could have been angels. And they said, why are you looking for him amongst the dead? He is risen. I said, oh yeah, that's right. He said he would. And everybody's going, that's nonsense. I mean, now they'd seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, but that's a whole other ballgame. For me to raise somebody else, I mean, we see people perform CPR on people and things like that to bring somebody who looks dead back to life. An outside force. But who brought Jesus back? Who raised him up? See, therein lies the question. It's nonsense. There was nobody there to raise him. He raised himself? Yes. See, death had no hold over him because he had no sin. The grave couldn't keep him. Couldn't hold him. Now, it seems like nonsense because they know everybody else that dies. I mean, there's a statistic that they like to throw out there. 1 out of 1 people die. 1 out of 1. You got a 100% chance you're going to die. Sooner or later, it happens to everybody. Except for Jesus. Hold it. No, he did die. He just rose again. And that's the Easter message. That resurrection is there for all who believe on the work that he did on the cross. And that's nonsense to the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And why don't we go to... what verse did I want there? Let's go to verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believed. Okay. The gospel story, Jesus being born in a stable, of lowly parents, no money, no power, living a sinless life, coming, preaching the word for 3 years, then going meekly to the cross, knowing he was going to go to the cross when he came in on Palm Sunday. He knew what was going to happen to him at the end of the week. And he's at in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Lord, take this cup from me, but if it's thy will, let thy will be done. If this is what you need me to do, Lord, I'm going to do it. And he did it. He went to the cross. Even though at any time he could have called down the host of heaven. He could have spoken a word and caused it not to be. After all, he spoke the world into creation. He died on the cross. One of the most excruciating, torturous ways man has ever devised to kill somebody, known amongst Jews as the curse, as a way anybody who dies on a tree is cursed. And the Romans, it was their symbol of victory over all the oppressed people. Yet God used that as his symbol of victory over sin. And now we have the empty tomb on Easter morning as his symbol of victory over the grave, over death. And without the Holy Spirit, that sounds like foolishness to everybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is way ahead of where we're at right now, but we're going to look there anyways, starting with verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That He was raised on the third day. And then verse 17. It says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Basically saying that if all we have is the teaching of Christ, if Christ didn't really rise from the dead, then we're to be pitied because we're foolish. Said, but, verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead came also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then those who belong to him. Who belongs to Christ? Each one who believes that what Jesus did on the cross was real. That he died for your sins. Each one who looks at what he did on the cross and then repents of their own sin. What's repent? That's literally to turn away from sin and turn towards God. Turn towards Jesus on the cross. Turn towards him. And say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Help me to walk with you. And when we do that, Christ has promised us that the Holy Spirit will come and indwell us and show us how to live for Him and will provide for us forgiveness of all sins. See, that forgiveness was paid, that price was paid on the cross, and it's there for each and every one who will do that. It's there for everybody. But it's the only way. There isn't another way. There isn't like a plan B or a plan C or D. God's got one plan. He says this is it. And it seems foolishness to the world. Just as the whole concept of going to the grave and finding it empty. Well, that's just nonsense. The grave isn't empty. Of course he's there. But he's not. He's not there. Because God is not bound by death. God is not bound by the same things we are. Only God can do what he has done. Nobody else could have done it. No individual could have done what was done. No group of people could have done what was done. The inconceivable folly of the cross, the nonsense of Easter, that empty tomb, when God can do what is done, this is the foolish, inconceivable, nonsensical plan of salvation. That Christ would come from this humble family, a small town, would die upon a cross, and then 3 days later be raised from the dead. That's what we celebrate on Easter. We don't celebrate the Easter Bunny. We don't celebrate good price on hands. What we celebrate is victory over death. Celebrate forgiveness of our sins. And that thing that makes our lives really ultimately worth living, because there is more than just this world. This world is just getting ready for the next. If you would, it's dress rehearsal, getting ready to go. And the only thing, what it boils down to, is what have we done with that, with Jesus? What have we done with the work that He did on the cross? What have we done with that empty tomb? Have we turned to it and said, that's nonsense? Or have we said, hallelujah, He is risen indeed? We have the benefit of looking back over the testimony of the apostles and the rest of the disciples and the prophets. And we have the entirety of the Word of God written down and put before us. And we can study it. And we have the benefit of the Holy Spirit, who, when we receive Christ, comes and indwells us. Each and every one. It used to be that only certain individuals were touched by the Holy Spirit. And then they would just be touched for a short time in different cases. But now, the Holy Spirit will come upon each and every person who received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they will literally have Christ in their heart. Not because of anything they did, but because of the work Christ did. It's a gift that God provides for us that we just have to reach out and receive. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That's my question for you this morning. If you have, praise God. Are you living Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Sometimes that's the more difficult question for Christians. Am I living Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Sometimes I try to, live Jesus as, my Sunday morning. Or my sometimes. But in every aspect of my life, is He my Lord and Savior? We're going to receive communion this morning. And the reason why we're going to receive communion is it's a reminder of the work that Jesus did on the cross. It helps us to physically have symbols in front of us which represent His broken body and His shed blood. The price He paid so that we could be forgiven of sin. Now, Jesus does not want us to worship the bread and the cup. He wants us to worship Him. These are just symbols which remind us of Him. Say, hey, help us to focus. We take communion in remembrance. Ask that the elders, and Butch, if you could come forward.